having said we're here, okay? Arcata's gonna leave the room to wait for the commissioner to come in.
Sure, all right.
Good morning.
Roger, does that sound like you're in Santa Barbara?
This is the Santa Barbara crew.
All right, excellent. We're just waiting for Jackie at Arcata, and then we'll get started. We still have 6 minutes, it looks like.
Hi, Richard.
Honky, I'm
good morning.
Oh.
Oh, for God's sakes, do we have to do that?
We're expecting something, but still...
Whose budget is this on?
Just want to welcome everybody. I understand our president's not available today, so his vice president, welcome everybody. And I'm going to turn it over to Sonke to find out. We got Jackie and we got Richard and myself. And then I'll turn it over to Sonke. You can find out who's visiting each one of your locations.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to first run through each of the locations just so I know what I'm working with out there, and then I will formally do my standard spiel on how we're going to conduct business. So here in Sacramento, we have staff from both department and the commission and Jim Kellogg. Arcata, I understand. Jackie, you're there?
Yes, I am, Sonke.
Do we have any public members there?
No, sir.
All right.
It's me right now.
Okay, thank you. What about Monterey office?
Don Kelly's here.
Any public or commissioners there?
Not yet.
All right, thank you. Santa Barbara, we have Commissioner Rogers. Any publics?
Yes, we do. Paul Weakland.
Okay. And Los Alamitos?
We have Laura Aguiar and Captain Hartman.
Any publics?
No.
All right. And we currently don't have any here either. So with that, we do have a quorum present, so we can conduct our business. Our goal today is informed decision making. In that spirit, we all need to work together. We're operating under the Bagley-Keene Open Meeting Act. As you heard earlier, these proceedings are being recorded. The amount of time for each agenda item may be adjusted based on time available and the number of speakers. It doesn't look like that's going to be an issue here today. Please make sure to list the agenda item. We have only two: public forum and the salmon item.
We've got that done.
Okay, excellent. We will do a check-in at each location to see if there are any folks that would like to speak once we're done with the item and floor vote in particular. So I will ask for those folks by roll calling all the way through. I will be monitoring our time, our speaker's time, and be verbally asking folks to wrap up if they go long. Please be respectful, and disruptions from the audience won't be tolerated. And again, time is precious, so please be concise. And with that, Commissioner Kellogg, we can proceed to public forum. So do we have any speakers who wish to speak on public forum?
We do in Santa Barbara, Paul Weakland.
All right. Paul, why don't we start with you then?
Commissioners, Paul Weakland, I would like to address the fact that you are not videotaping or recording the Marine Resources Subcommittee meetings. Now, there's some duplicity, collusion, deception, trickery, and fraud that's going on in these meetings that all of a sudden you have a closed-door meeting with no verification or validation, and then these large proposals and recommendations come out of there. It's not right. It is not transparency. The other thing I'd like to address is that all during the MPA process, the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and all of the meetings, everyone said that if you close down my favorite fishing areas, I am not going to buy a fishing license any longer. And that is what's happening. And now at the last MRC meeting, it's closed off. The no fishing zones, the no economic zones that you've created is a consequence. And you were told right up front, early on in the process, that people would stop buying fishing licenses, and that's what's going on. And this just shows why the Marine Resource Subcommittee meeting needs to be videotaped and recorded because of the trickery and deceptions that are going on. At the meeting, oh my gosh, they had a cover story. They have all of these reasonings that aren't true, fabricated. That is all.
Thank you, Paul. And I take it that, so Los Al, Monterey, Arcata, no public speakers there?
No, but also, I don't know, Sankey, if you want to, just for the public record, comment about the fact that the MRC is, in fact, recorded.
Yeah, that's a good point, Commissioner Rogers. Yeah, we are audio recording all of the committee meetings.
And they are posted on the website.
Yes. And we are working with the department. Director Chuck Bonham had offered to work with us, see if we could expand our audiovisual recording of our work. So we are, in fact, looking at options to do something along Mr. Paul Weakland's request, although we are audio recording them all now. So unless there's anything else, I recommend, Commissioner Kellogg, that we proceed to agenda item 2, which is discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to season dates, size limits, daily bag limits for the April 2015 recreational ocean salmon season, and recovering regulation changes for recovering coated wire tags from salmon heads taken in the ocean and inland rec fisheries, and then some refining some recreational ocean.
Good morning. My name is Barry Miller. I'm with the Department of Fish and Wildlife's Ocean Salmon Project. I'll be presenting the 2015 ocean salmon season regulations for the month of April. And I'd like to remind you that as part of the normal season setting process, the Pacific Fishery Management Council adopted the April 2015 season in federal waters during their meeting in April of 2014. Now, we're only asking you to adopt the April portion of the season today. The May through November season regulations will be presented to you at the Commission's April teleconference meeting. Move on to the next slide. I'll start by giving an overview of the timeline for regulatory action, specifically focusing on the remaining proceedings. We'll review the Federal Salmon Fishery Management Plan conservation objectives for 2015, as well as describe the winter run harvest control rule. We'll take a look at the escapement numbers for 2014. Then I'll show the proposed ocean salmon sport fishery regulations in state waters for 2015. I'll review the proposed amendment to Section 1.73 for the recovery of coated wire tags from salmon heads. Then I'll review the proposed amendment to Section 27.75 that redefines ocean salmon fishery closures around river mouths. And finally, I'll review the next steps in the 2015 regulatory process. Next slide. Looking at the graphic, it shows the actual timeline of remaining proceedings. The state regulatory process is on the top. and the federal process is on the bottom. And starting with the federal proceedings, the Pacific Fishery Management Council met last week in Vancouver, Washington, to finalize the April 2015 regulations and adopt three regulatory team recreational ocean salmon season regulations for May through November. And lastly, on April 17th, the Fish and Game Commission will hold a special teleconference meeting to adopt the final 2015 May through November regulations in state waters. Now, regarding the May through November regulations, the department began taking public comments regarding the proposed season structure at its annual salmon information meeting in late February and saw over 120 people in attendance. Also, additional public comment was received at the Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting in Vancouver, Washington, last week. Move on to the next slide. There are specific conservation objectives that must be met in order for any season option to be accepted, and I wanted to discuss the four that primarily affect California's ocean salmon fisheries. For the Sacramento River Fall Chinook, it requires an escapement goal of 122,000 to 180,000 hatchery and natural area adult spawners. For the Klamath River Fall Chinook, it requires an escapement goal of 40,700 adult spawners in natural areas. For the California Coastal Chinook, it requires that the age 4 ocean harvest rate of Klamath River Fall Chinook not exceed 16%. And for the Sacramento River Winter Chinook, which is ESA listed as endangered, it restricts opening and closing dates for sport and commercial fisheries south of Point Arena with minimum size limits in effect. Also, there is no salmon fishing permitted in the ocean between mid-November through March, and there's a maximum ocean fishery impact rate of 19% on age 3 Sacramento River Winter Chinook. Next slide. I thought this would be a good opportunity to provide a little background on winter rushers as well as minimum size limits for fisheries south of Point Arena, as well as added an annual maximum ocean harvest impact rate based on a 3-year geometric mean of adult escapement. In 2015, the maximum impact rate is 19%, whereas in 2014, the maximum impact rate was 15.4%. What this means is that in 2015, there is more fishing allowed than in 2014 because the 3-year geometric mean is higher. Now, if you direct your attention to the figure at the right of the slide there, you'll see four conditions under which the maximum impact rate is determined. The conditions are distinguished by the letters A, B, C, and D. Starting with condition A, if the geometric mean of the most recent 3 years of spawning return estimates is less than 500 fish, there is a 0% impact rate, essentially closing all fisheries south of Point Arena. Under condition B, the geometric mean of the most recent 3 years of spawning return estimates is between 500 and 4,000 fish. There is a sliding scale impact rate between 10 and 20%. For condition C, if the geometric mean of the most recent 3 years of spawning return estimates is between 4,000 and 5,000 fish, there is a 20% impact rate. And under condition D, if the geometric mean of the most recent 3 years of spawning return estimates is greater than 5,000 fish, there is no preseason impact rate cap. So under 2015, the maximum impact rate is 19%. Therefore, it falls within the parameters of condition B under the harvest control rules. Under the current harvest control rule, fisheries south of 15, as a precautionary approach as a result of the current drought conditions in California. Moving on to the next slide. So here's a quick look at the 2014 escapement. Starting with Sacramento River Falls Chinook, there's a minimum escapement goal range of 122,000 to 180,000 natural and hatchery adult spawners. The Sacramento River Falls Chinook saw approximately 211,700 adults and 23,400 jacks return in 2014. Moving to the Klamath River Falls Chinook, it has a minimum natural area adult spawner goal of 40,700. It saw approximately 95,300 adults and 17,300 jacks return in 2014. And for the Sacramento River Winter Chinook, it saw approximately 2,700 adults and 300 jacks return in 2014. Moving to the next slide. Here we're looking at California's four salmon management areas, The area north of Horse Mountain is known as the Klamath Management Zone. From Horse Mountain to Point Arena is known as the Fort Bragg Management Area. From Point Arena to Pigeon Point is known as the San Francisco Management Area. And all areas south of Pigeon Point are known as the Monterey Management Area. And the map doesn't show the southernmost part of the state because the majority of the salmon fishery occurs north of Point Conception. Next slide. Here we're looking at the proposed sport regulations as adopted by the Pacific Fishery Management Council for April 2015. The area north of Horse Mountain will be closed throughout April. The season dates for the area south of Horse Mountain are between April 4th and 30th. Department is proposing two additional amendments to existing regulations regarding ocean salmon fishing. The first proposed amendment relates to Section 1.73 of Title 14, and it requires the head of any sport-caught salmon with a missing adipose fin to be relinquished upon request by an authorized representative of the department to facilitate the recovery of any coated wire tag. And this amendment addresses the need for consistency between California Fish and Game Code and Title 14 in order to implement the state's salmon tagging program. Moving to the next slide. The second proposed amendment pertains to Section 27.75 of Title 14, and it establishes specific latitude and longitude coordinates that define existing North Coast river mouth closures on the Smith, Klamath, and Eel Rivers. And defining the existing river mouth closures with specific latitude and longitude coordinates will improve the clarity, minimize ambiguity, and improve enforcement of the existing closures. Next slide. Here we're looking at the next steps. On March 31st, the Pacific Fishery Management Council is holding a public hearing in Fort Bragg, California. This hearing is the public's opportunity to provide feedback on the three-season alternatives that were presented to them at the March Council meeting in Vancouver, Washington. These regulatory alternatives are in effect on or after May 1st, 2015. Then, from April 11th through the 16th, the Pacific Fishery Management Council meets in Rohnert Park, California to adopt final federal regulations. And finally, on April 17th, the Fish and Game Commission holds a special teleconference meeting to adopt final state regulations. And that concludes my presentation.
The only public is in Santa Barbara, and does Paul want to speak to this?
Yes, he does.
All right, Paul, go right ahead.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland, two things, please. If report cards are so beneficial to these other fisheries, why don't we burden this fishery with report cards? The other question is that I fish salmon quite intricately, sport and commercial, many times. When the hatcheries came online and supposedly these hatchery fish were snipped of their adipose fin, even though we noticed before this that there were some naturally occurring salmon without adipose fin, but that made a benefit for those that are saying we clip these thousands of adipose fins and that makes it a hatchery fish. My question is, how many of these fish that have been retrieved without an adipose fin do not have a wire tag in their heads? And since every one of them is supposed to have been wire tagged when you clip the fin, how come that disparity is occurring yet you don't want to discuss it? Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. With that, we don't have any more public comments. Is that true, Arcata, Monterey, and Los Alamitos?
That's true for Arcata, Sankey. I have a quick question on the PFMC public hearing in Fort Bragg. I'm wondering if that's possible for me to attend that, not 100%, but possibly. Who will be representing the department and the commission at that meeting?
It will be Brett Cormos. He is the department's council representative for the salmon technical team.
Okay.
Mike Berner is the council staff officer who will be kind of chairing and organizing the meeting. Also in attendance will be Pacific Council member Dan Wolford, and probably also David Crabb will be coming up from Monterey. So it's an opportunity for additional comment on both the sport and commercial alternatives that are out for public review and will assist the council in its decision-making for April.
Great. Thank you, Marcy.
And, Jackie, as far as commission staff, this does happen to be a state holiday.
Okay.
So normally we wouldn't expect staff to be working that day, although if you are planning on attend, it's always really not much of a challenge to talk me into going over there.
Okay.
But maybe we'll chat offline about that.
Okay, I'd like to try and attend Sonke, so let's get with each other later.
Okay.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, and just as a point of clarification, I do think this discussion in the PFMC meeting in April is very important, because while these numbers we just got on the forecast are just amazing and really great news, they seem kind of contrary to our ongoing drought reality, and so I know there's some tension and angst about the future, so I think it'd be very important for folks to pay close attention to what the council does in April, because they may be walking a very narrow line in the future, because we've got the drought effect should be starting to show up, and yet they're not, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Sonke. It's Marcy. Just to add to that, when we were developing COIA on integrated ecosystem assessment work that is really looking at climate indicators and the ability to better forecast ocean environments and looking at different variables, and their overall conclusion was that the conditions for West Coast salmon are very poor in the ocean right now, and that looking at the copepod levels and the sea surface temperatures and prey availability, none of the indicators suggest good things for ocean salmon. So there's been quite a lot of discussion and interest in this topic and how this relates to this positive forecast. And in fact, we did take kind of a deeper dive into the available data to see if there might be some other things we might look at. National Marine Fisheries Service did put out a supplemental report on winter run and out migration and some discussion about the need to be looking at a different harvest control rule next year in light of significant concerns for the 2014 winter run brood year. But the reality is that that review is not yet ripe at this stage for use and management for the 2015 process. So there's a lot of work to be done over the next year in salmon modeling and management. But all of that said, we did feel in California that we needed to put out an alternative that does allow for additional precaution above what the ESA consultation standard requires on that winter run. And kind of in a nutshell, what that alternative would do is severely restrict fall fisheries on the commercial side and on the recreational side, as well as you continue to use the size limit tool, which is what we've traditionally used in fishery management for winter run to avoid contacting the smaller size winter run. By having a larger size limit, we've minimized the impacts on the winter run compared to the target fall run stocks. So anyway, this alternative is out for public review and comment, and is available for consideration in April. And just a note on these three alternatives, the way the council process works, we are able to mix and match from within the range of alternatives that's put out for public review. So what you'll see is a number of a variety of dates and open days of the week and differing size limits in differing parts of California. And so we'll be working with our advisors on the salmon advisory subpanel to craft these seasons and kind of mush these three alternatives down into one final alternative for California over the next month.
All right. Well, so fair warning, everyone. Pay attention to the council meeting. We'll hear more, obviously, at the April 17th teleconference meeting. Same time and same location, so folks interested know that.
And just another heads up on the council's April meeting. It will be in Santa Rosa and actually follows immediately after your commission meeting in April. The dates are the 11th through the 17th.
Okay.
Question.
The Fish and Game Commission hereby adopts the April 2015 recreational fishing regulations for ocean salmon as recommended by the department.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first and second. I'm going to do a roll call. Commissioner Kellogg?
Aye.
Commissioner Rogers?
Aye.
Commissioner Hofstra-Karmason?
Aye.
Commissioner Bayless, absent. Commissioner Sutton, absent. We have a unanimous vote. And is there any other business, commissioners?
No, we're clear in Santa Barbara.
All right. Mr. Kellogg, you may adjourn the meeting.
Okay, guys. Thank you, everybody, for their participation, and we now declare this meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Jim and Jackie.
Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody from the department who helped make the meetings work. I appreciate it a lot, even those who were no one showed up. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.